This podcast is brought to you by Refix, a natural and organic isotonic drink containing 78 sea minerals. It's available on Amazon UK now, and it's heading to the shelves of all major health food retailers and pharmacies soon. Oh, that is nice.
It is nice. It's really good, though, because when I was talking to the guys at Refix, it kind of marries very well with our brand, because not only is it replacing like your normal kind of sugary isotonic drinks with something that's all natural after training, but also for like things like hangovers.
Important like, for our clients.
Yeah, super important for our clients.
Because a lot of them are hungover when they come into the gym.
They love training.
The flavors are good. That one we've just had now, what is it?
That one was orange and they've got lemon. And then they're bringing out Extreme Hydration, which is mixed with coconut water as well as seawater, because they get the minerals that would normally be added in to a...
Floating around in the sea.
Exactly. They just pull it out of the sea.
78 of them.
It's filtered very, very well.
And it's Spanish sea as well. So...
The cleanest.
Special sea. And also, they do things to help the planet. They do regular beach cleans. They help tidy up our oceans. It's just a great drink and great people. So we're happy to be partnering with them for this podcast.
Our lovely listeners can buy Refix with a little discount, can't they, George?
They can. It is BTL15. And you type that into the discount code on the Refix website and you get 15% off.
That is BTL15.
Refix. Seawater. Sea hydration. Extra slurps. Is that you drink all the time?
Super slurpy. Hey guys, before we get into this episode of Before Lights podcast, here at Before the Lights, we are super supportive of all our friends who are actors and their strike with the Screen Actors Guild. Therefore, we've held on to some of these episodes until the strikes are finished. So some of the stuff they say might be dated or it might have already come out, but we're super grateful for the time they've given us and it's still super interesting chat. So yeah, have a listen and enjoy.
Hey, I'm Dave Hasty.
I'm George Ashwell.
I'm Josh Betteridge.
And I'm Georgia Canavan. And we are Before the Lights.
We work with actors and teams behind the scenes in film, TV and sport to keep their mental and physical health ticking over on and off screen.
On this podcast, we talk to some of them about how they get the most out of their mind and body and everything in between.
Welcome back to the Before the Lights podcast.
Welcome back.
On this episode, we get chatting to Harris Dickinson, who a lot of people will know from Triangle of Sadness, Beach Rats,
yep.
And the project that we first started working with is Ironclaw, which we go into some detail about.
Which he is a professional wrestler from the 80s.
It's basically 70s, him and Zac Efron wrestling.
Yes.
So if you want to learn about that, stick around. Other items of conversation include forest bathing, which again, I think
Dave enlightened us about that.
Yes, so you want to learn about that, stick around. And also... If you've ever wondered what a superhero would look like made out of BTL clients / trainers.
We did get onto discussing that. It was probably the most serious conversation we had in the entire podcast.
Yeah. It's very important. And again, if you want to learn about that, stick around. So I think this one is, it's one for the uneducated to become enlightened. So
enjoy.
Without further ado. Oh. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Harris Dickinson.
It's a great privilege, I feel, to be here amongst such legends.
Esteemed podcasties
and trainers.
Oh, I thought you were talking about our previous guests, but I appreciate that.
And that. Mainly you guys, though. You're the, you know.
Of course.
Never mind the guests. I was going to say
trainers.
Like, you'll be amazed to know you're the first person that's ever said that.
Yeah, everyone else doesn't want to be here. We just force them in.
I don't believe it. How long have you guys known each other?
Since we're like 18.
Yeah, so 13 years.
Yeah, a long time. There's a lot of stories there that we probably shouldn't put out there.
Okay.
That makes it sound horrible.
But lots.
We've had a great...
I wanted to ask you a question from the listeners. No, but on a real note, I was thinking because part of what you guys do, it goes into the creative space because you're working with so many creatives and you yourself are creative, but like, how is it working with friends? Because that's something that I've always found interesting and difficult and like complex. Like, how do you find that?
I think it's easy because we're different. There's like, I always think of it as like a spectrum, and at any given time, someone's happier, someone's sad, and someone's in the middle. Not that they're
Dave,
the only
Dave's
thing,
always in the middle.
Like, but at any given time, we can make kind of good decisions, and if someone's annoyed about something, the fact there's three of us, things don't come to a head.
Three is the magic number in it. Like, if there's two of you and you didn't agree, it's horrible. But if three of you, even if you're the odd one out, it's like, all right, I'm the odd one out. Yeah. We go with the majority. And it's just an easy decision to make.
Definitely learn to communicate more, better as you get older. You must find that when you get older, you learn how to... We talk a lot about this stuff when we train, but like being able to communicate with people around you.
Yeah.
I feel like we lost that during COVID, and then even before that, when social media and phones became more prominent, everyone lost it. But I think we've become much better.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I always wondered that, because it's like, as I'm getting a bit older, I'm starting to work with people that I've worked with before, as just a sort of coincidence. And it's like the best thing when you can go to work and be comfortable with people. It's like, it's happening more and more, especially when I do jobs in London and stuff. So there's a familiarity and also a comfort that makes you just want to keep that going with everything you do.
Yeah.
But it can't always happen. Sometimes you have to, you know.
Have you found you've met, because you've done a lot of stuff. Like, did you start young?
I didn't start that young. I was like, I wanted to get into it young, but I didn't start properly working until I was like 19, 20, which I guess is young. Yeah, I thought I was going to be into it at 16, you know. I was very like ahead of myself and thought that I was afforded the right to be working at 16.
Yeah. Were you actively trying to be an actor?
Yeah.
At that age?
Yeah.
Did you go to drama school?
No. I went to college. I had like a year at college, and then I dropped out of college. I wasn't having a very good time at my college. I had a really, really bad teacher he was my film teacher, but he was also my English teacher. In film, he would give me shit, and then in English he would give me, and it was just like the worst combination. And I don't know what was wrong with him. He was just some sort of disgruntled man that, you know, maybe wasn't happy with his own circumstances, was teaching 16-year-olds and wanted to be in film, or wanted to, you know, he seemed angry and like he just seemed bitter.
Yeah.
And I was at that time making short films on my own. I was like, I had like a web series with my mates. I was doing like these little sketch shows, and I was making shorts, and I was proactive with it. And I wasn't ever like, I was never like garish or show offy. I was just sort of quietly getting on with that, separate from my studies. And I don't think he liked that I was doing that. I don't think he liked that I was sort of taking
You'd
things on my
own. You'd
expect
to be the opposite, because if you're a teacher of a subject and there's someone in your class that's showing that they're kind of actively going after something and really enthusiastic and really engaged with it, you would have thought they'd love it.
Yeah, it was weird, because I was so like ready to like learn and like have the sort of institutional help that I'd been waiting for on a like higher educational level. But he was just the worst. Like, we used to bicker, and it was to the point where people in the class would come to me and be like, what have you done to him? Like, what have you done to him? Shit. He hates you. And I would be like, I don't know. Like, I haven't done anything. I'm like, you know.
Maybe he just saw that you had something.
I don't know. But
I think people, that can happen, maybe, can't it? It's like, there's like a, shit, this kid's good.
I don't know, man. It was weird. Maybe he was like pushing me as well. Maybe there was a certain element of like,
but that's, I mean, you've got to communicate that.
Yeah, it was more than that. It was like,
I'm
going to
ride you a little bit.
It was like public humiliation, and intellectually at that age, I wasn't that wasn't my thing. Like, I wasn't good at writing essays. I was more just like practical. And I think he like saw that and was like, you're not good at everything. Tried to like make me. Anyway, I left college, but I couldn't deal with him anymore. So I left, and then.
That's mad. That was like the reason.
It was. Wow. It was that. And I even my mum supported it, because I would go home every day and be like, this guy is like.
Yeah. But you did the films. Talk about like the shorts you were doing.
Yeah, I think I was always quite like proactive with that stuff. So I used to write to the council, and I got funding at a very young age for a short film, and I like,
that's cool,
wrote
that's
this banging big cover letter and saying, you know, we're gonna create opportunities for young filmmakers, and it's about a young disabled guy, so there's like raising awareness for that. And I somehow got like a grand when I was like 15, and they gave me money to make this film, and I did that. And then I was working on like music video sets as a runner, and then I was just trying a bit of everything and trying to get into film or TV in any capacity.
So did you go back to like studying at all, or did you stay working?
No, I just stayed working. I just got jobs. And
that's young, isn't it?
Jobs.
To go like to be out and then just start working and going after trying to become
an actor. Yeah, I didn't feel that young. I felt like I was just wanting to work, though.
Yeah.
You know, I'd had jobs from a very young age, and I just felt like I needed to. I mean, it was more than earning money, but I felt like I needed to, like, get amongst it. And I was already auditioning for things, and I did, like, a commercial, and then there was just, like, 4 years of me working these other jobs and auditioning and trying bits and bobs, and then...
Were these open calls, or did you have an agent that was sort of putting you...
I had an agent at the time.
How did you find them if you were...
So I did this thing called National Connections, which is, like, a competition, which they open it up to, like, drama schools around London, and you... The winners, like the group that wins, get to perform at the National Theatre, and we like won it. And the agent came and saw that. And
picked you up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
So I was lucky in some senses because it is hard to get agents. You know, I get so many people reach out to me now. Still, they think that an agent is gonna be the only step in implementing their career. Absolutely. And it's like you don't realize that once you get an agent, you're gonna have to do a self tape every day.
And even then, it's just so subjective.
Even then, it's so subjective. Even then, you do an amazing tape and they say, oh, you're not right. Why am I not right? I don't know. So it's like, you know.
Feel it. Yeah.
What was the first, like, big job going through that process?
Well, I was working in a hotel and I got a job called Beach Rats, which did quite well at Sundance Film Festival. And I remember, like, that was a very small job. And I was still working at the hotel when I did it. And when I finished it, I went back.
Really?
Yeah, and then it kind of, after that came out, and after Sundance happened, I was able to leave the hotel.
Did you have a feeling doing Beach Rats that it was like there was something
good about it, or that you were just like,
I'll do this, I'll go back to working at the
hotel.
Hang
on, so you're out in East London working. Mm. Then they go, do you want to come to New York for like X amount of months to do a film?
My manager was blessed. My manager was blessed. He wanted me to like stay on and fucking be a manager or something. I don't know. He wanted me to like.
We want you to manage our industry. You're managing our gym, mate. In a few years, we want you. We're here.
I've been waiting for you to ask.
This is a job interview.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I didn't know that film was going to be what it was because I didn't really know Eliza, the director. I didn't really know what Sundance was properly. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, even when I went, I didn't really. My film knowledge wasn't where it's at. I didn't have the understanding of it. So. Yeah, and then I guess that got me the next jobs. I just kept working after that. It became a different thing after that came out, you know.
Did you have like a taste for it of like this is what I'm gonna do then?
Yeah. No, I mean,
did it put you off being a manager of a hotel?
I never wanted to be a manager of a hotel. I always wanted to.
No disrespect to managers.
No. It's a noble profession. I always wanted to do it, man. I used to get so mad, and now it's so dumb because it wasn't even like 3-4 years isn't long to be sort of on the grind. Some people are, you know, still on the grind, still waiting. But like for me as a 20-year-old, I was like, fuck this, man. Like,
yeah, it's all relative, shit, isn't it?
I'm not gonna make it. You know, like it was a very like because I was like auditioning though. And taping so much and so much like, oh, you're close, they like you, and then you just wouldn't get it, and then.
Yeah.
And then, like, after working in all these different places that I didn't want to work, I was just like, I have to, like, I can't not do it now. Like, I can't, I'll be so unhappy if I have to, like... it's a different thing if you want to enter one of those professions and you are, like, you have an interest for it.
Yeah,
you want to work in hospitality and there's, like, a drive for it, or you want to work in that world. But knowing that you want to do something so bad, you're not able to do it. I think it's...
Yeah.
And it's not other things, like, say, for example, a musician... You can always have the ability to like pick up the guitar or go on the piano and like play, but acting, it's not quite the same. You can't be like
just do monologues in the middle of the lolly.
Yes, you could, yeah, but it's like okay, what will I do? Maybe I'll learn a monologue, or I'll like meet out with a mate and do readings.
I never thought of it like that.
I used to do these play readings with Actors Writers London, but. Actors Writers London, everyone is like 60 plus. So I was the only like, I was like the 17-year-old. And I was always just given like any young part below 50.
Below 50?
Like, yeah. I just get given that like.
That's where your diversity in terms of the roles you can play must come from that.
There.
Must come from that.
There. Yeah.
We'll talk about how you ended up part of our little gang of people then at BTL.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was it Papa?
It
you
was
and Papa,
Papa
see
yeah.
who had worked together.
You slid in our DMs, didn't you? That was how
I
we...
I did.
Yeah, I remember
wow.
that. And I saw it, and then I think I text Josh being like, there's this new actor who said that we train loads of his friends, but I don't know who he's talking about.
Well, like, yeah. Who's this guy he's talking about?
And then, so I think, yeah, Josh booked him in for the next day. Then the rest is history. Yeah, between Josh and Harris. It's the new gym bromance.
I love you all, by the way.
It's not a competition, we know.
I mean, well, you're making it a competition.
Yeah, but who do you love most?
Honestly, I've spent stupid money just trying everything. And I was like, well, I might as well try, like, finding a consistent person that can help me with that. And then I shouted Papa, and he was just like, yeah, these guys are great. That really helped my knee, and they're also really good people. And that was the other thing. I was like, oh, I guess I was just looking for something that was going to be like a bit more of a journey rather than like just a quick thing.
And when at that point, did you know the job that you were going to do, which is kind of what you guys have been working on?
No.
For the past couple of months. That was completely unrelated.
That was unrelated. I wanted to just be pain-free.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't have any, like, physique goals. Mm. I just wanted to be, like, out of pain. And then this film came up.
Are you allowed to talk?
I got cast in The Iron Claw, which is some Sean Durkin wrestling movie set in the 70s, and it's about the Von Erich brothers and their sort of rise and fall within WWF wrestling in the 60s, 70s. The guy I played, David Von Erich, was a big guy. He was like had a lot of muscle on him, but
he was huge. Man.
He was big, yeah. But he also wasn't what I liked is that he wasn't like chiseled. Like his brothers were like really chiseled. Like Kerry and Kevin, they were like bodybuilders, but Dave sort of didn't have the same.
He looked like bigger. Like his stature was.
He was just
bigger,
a bit burly.
Like, yeah, he looked like a clumsy lumbering kind of guy.
Yeah,
you know?
He was like 6'7". I mean, they used to lie on the wrestling announcements and say he was sick. David Von Erich, 6'7", 300 pounds. It's like, he's definitely not 300 pounds. But
the Big Show was 500 pounds. They used to go, Big Show.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's 500.
No, that's what I mean. They lie. No one's 500 they lie on those. Yeah, yeah.
It's basically, you had to play an absolute monster.
Yeah, but I mean, what was nice is that Sean, our director, didn't, you know, he was like, don't feel any type of way about hitting the exact...
Yeah.
Wait. So then we obviously started working together. Josh and I started working together, and all of us did. We had occasional.
Josh letters sometimes.
Yeah, Josh letters me sometimes.
When he was busy. You know, when he couldn't be bothered. Well.
You deal with him, lads, today.
When he was with his more important people.
But it's hard, isn't it? Because Josh obviously knows what I was dealing with each day. So that was also a thing you had to like keep up with. It was. I mean, you had a hard job, man, because I was in pain. I was trying to put on weight and I was trying to get to a level of fitness. I don't really know how we did it. We managed to do it.
You did it, mate. Yeah.
How much weight did you put on?
Not that much. It wasn't like I don't know. Maybe I was like, I think the most I weighed was like 89.
You got up
kilograms.
Around. Yeah, you were. I mean, I'd say up to you almost put on 10 kilos.
I'd say 10 kilos,
which is really good.
And it all
22 pounds if anyone's
in not. Massive space of time.
I mean, it was like 6 weeks.
That's a hell of a lot. It was, and doing it in a way when you're, like you're saying, you had sort of issues with your body in terms of pain and discomfort.
Not like moaning about this in any way, because I had enough like support and that. But when I was there doing it, I was thinking to myself, I probably can't do this anytime soon again. Like, I don't think I can. Mm. It wasn't even that much. It's just because of all of the like stuff that I had going on. It was just like with my body, it wasn't.
You felt it was an effort to stay that.
Well, it was an effort to stay like that. And I was just in pain a lot. Like, yeah. I was just...
To run through, like, a little bit of what you were doing. Yeah. A, it was like, we're on a process with you in a minute, isn't it? Just, like, sustainability, longevity, get your body into the position it wants to be in.
Yeah.
And that's, like, something which doesn't happen overnight. And what we love about what you do is, we'll talk about it in a bit, about you're always on the hot topics with, like, ice therapy, all the food stuff as well. You can talk about that in a bit, because of all our clients, I reckon you're on it massively, which is really good.
I swear.
But you were like, with your wrestling training, wasn't it like you were doing, how many clotheslines did you have to do in like one afternoon?
Oh, man.
Like getting your arm just trashed like hour after hour.
Yeah, I just think like also when you meet, I mean, if any wrestlers are listening to this, like, mad respect to you.
You've got loads. We've got loads tuning in.
Big wrestling fans.
Yeah, we've got.
Shout out Big Show.
Shout out Big
Show. We know you're listening.
Shout out Kane. Is Kane still going? Kane tuned in, I'm sure.
Undertaker just came back.
What?
Apparently. Mm.
Really?
What, yeah. To us?
Well, he was already
to,
dead. Yeah,
came back to
our listenership. Yeah, he sent me a message saying it.
But it's
catching
like,
back up.
It's honestly...
Catching back up.
It's honestly like the most impressive thing because they put their bodies through like such wild things. It's so dangerous and like so not safe. Mm. And I was doing like that, but they were looking out for me. So I wasn't just having to like wreck my body. But the clotheslines and all of that, like, yeah, you're doing it to like big guys as well.
Yeah.
And you're doing it all day filming.
Were you training listening to the intro music?
Your intro music was sick. Can we get that up as well, Jim? What was it again?
Did he have a song?
Link it in.
It was, yeah, it was Tom Sawyer by Rush. It was a banger. Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, But I mean, you have that a lot with actors, isn't it? You've got a lot of people come to you and be like, what is the main thing that you have? I mean, do you have a mixture of people coming to you saying like, I just want to work and train, or is it more just like people that want to have a certain goal? Like, well, what
one
do you
of my
find?
Clients asked me today, they were like, do you often get people come for a job and then they stick around? And that is probably it. It's normally by recommendation, like you with Papa. And it's like, someone's gone, who the hell do I go to for this? And one of our clients overhears them and go, oh, go to these guys. And then they stick around and we help them kind of with the lifestyle stuff after we've got through a job. It's like, I always think about it like boxers. Like you can have like Paddy the Baddy UFC or Ricky Hatton. And you can have those guys that just lose all their shit in between each fight or each job. Or you can have like the Carl Froch and who just keep in insane shape constantly. And that's like the idea is to keep you guys fit and healthy in between jobs so that when you go back you're ready rather than have to go through that stupid extreme yo-yo and stuff.
Yeah, but I enjoy it, man. Like, health has become a big thing in my life because I was quite a fat kid, so like I think as soon as I
don't believe this, you keep saying it.
I was and it affected me because I didn't like being fat, but like I've seen some people in my life like maybe struggle with health things. Mm-hmm. And that has just made me want to be like, just look after myself.
Were those things that happened kind of separately of each other? I don't know whether or not you kind of proactively lost weight or you just grew and your body changed and then...
I know, I definitely tried to lose weight. I used to go Matterland with my mum for school trousers and none of them fit me. And I remember like one day, it was like a proper like... origin story.
The age type thing. Like you're trying on 7 to 10.
Yeah, I would have to get like big sizes mum's friend would have to do the bottoms up.
You're literally describing my childhood.
Yeah, we spoke
about
this.
Have I told you this story?
I'll say it
for like people listening because it's quite funny. Yeah. So like exactly the same thing for me because I was like fucking massive.
Yeah.
My dad described me as a bulb that grew into a flower. I was like, yeah, it looks nice.
Very profound
nice
thing
to think of it now, but when you're like 13 going to high school and everyone's like, oh, you fat fuck. God. But yeah, they would be like, go and get trousers. And then my mum would send them to be like altered.
Yeah.
And she got a phone call one day, which is like, Mrs. Hasty, are you sure you've measured these right? Because your husband must be very short. She's like, no. It's my 12-year-old son. Same waist size now.
Did your mum tell you that? Or is that like a story
she told
you
me
later?
Like, at the time. She told me, like, maybe it was later. I don't know. Yeah.
That'd be savage.
That's harsh.
Listen to this.
She was the one that was going, all right, you fat fuck.
It's a voice note, and she just a voicemail, and she keeps playing it back
Don't ever go back there.
Lose weight. Yeah.
But yeah, my waist size, obviously my legs have got longer, but my waist size is the same from like year 7, year 8.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Same. It's funny, man. It's not funny.
It's quite sad.
I started running and then I probably just lost weight naturally. I had a growth spurt.
Yeah. It kind of just stretched out a bit.
Yeah. But I was definitely proactive with it. I was definitely trying to.
Were you sporty anyway?
Yeah, I was. I was definitely active. I was skating and skateboarding and doing martial arts, but I was never really like doing football. And I guess football, there's so many kids that I meet. Like so many adults that I meet now that have got a really good base of fitness from playing football, and I didn't have that, so I got into it a bit later with like martial arts or like ice hockey, what I did for a bit, but
played ice hockey.
Yeah,
cool. Mate, there's always something new about you that you've done every week. It's like, when did you do ice hockey?
Ice hockey's a brutal sport.
we live near Lee Valley Ice Rink, so there was like a local team. I only did it for a bit. I didn't have the fitness for it.
How's your skating?
My skating's good.
Are you the
guy that
can do the backwards stuff?
Yeah.
When everyone's at Christmas?
My skating is good, I'm not going to lie.
you like your ice, mate, don't you?
I do.
Good segue into that.
Yeah, well done, ice.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Not drugs.
Is there a question or is that it?
Did you install an ice bath at home?
I may or may not have. I may or may not have.
You were talking about it.
Not to name drop, but in Ironclaw was Zac Efron as well, and he like did it a lot. I'd done ice baths a lot, and I'd done cold showers for a long time, but the idea of like having an ice bath was always very far away. I probably don't have that. I was doing it a lot on set with him, like he had one. Yeah, I found it like the most helpful for my pain.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Was there a point like a time limit of like how long you had to be in to notice a difference and that kind of thing?
Well, I was telling Josh the other day, I did 5 minutes at like 5 degrees.
That's cold for everybody. Cold.
And a long time.
And then I went down to 4 degrees and I've been doing 4 minutes at 4 degrees. But I do below that, I feel good, but I don't feel as good. So it's like, I feel like...
You found the window.
I mean, it's quite powerful. I'm a bit addicted to it now. It's weird. It's a good like...
I guess it's kind of like there's a hit of... energy doing it, the endorphins of doing it, and your body is telling you you've done something good that wants you to do it again. I suppose it's like this,
they say it compares to like jumping out of a plane or a bungee jump, or whatever. It's that same fight or flight adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then you're also getting the added benefit of cooling down your whole body and reducing the inflammation
in your body as well.
So it's both of those things.
Yeah. And for my mind as well, I've noticed like a real reduction in like noise and anxiety. It's nice. It's like a real,
that's the one thing. That we said, and I find that fascinating how like the brain chemistry actually alters that pathway. Those pathways become massively altered from just jumping in cold water.
There's nothing more present bringing. Yeah, like you're not going to be thinking about the future or the past when you're sitting in freezing cold water just trying to get through it. Like you're going to be like, oh, wish I didn't do that last week. Like, no chance.
You said
focus.
No, I was just going to say also like if there's any, it's weird because it's not weird. It makes a lot of sense, but like. If you're feeling a bit foggy or shit's going on in your head or something's happened in real time, I guarantee after getting in cold water, that will go away. Hmm. And like a mate came around the other day, I could tell he was in a mood and something was wrong and he was in like a bit of he was agitated. And I was like, mate, go and get in it. And he was like, no, I've had a shower. I was like, just get in it. And he did and he was like noticeably lighter. Mm. It's such a simple thing. It's become an addiction. And I think in the past I've had addictions that weren't healthy and now it's like a healthy addiction. I just don't want to be the guy like every time I do it, I have to tell someone I'm doing it. You know, like, you know, there's things in life that we do that we feel the need to like tell someone about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, why do we have that?
I don't know. Maybe I'm way off here, but like I see people that do those things and I'm in my head, I think it's like, It's a trend, like a current thing that people want to do, and it being like part of the gang in a way. Whereas if you're doing it and like you're doing it for you, it's your time. It's no one else needs to know about it. It's something that you enjoy and you find the benefit of it. I think that's like shows that it's actually doing something for you rather than just going, I want people to know I'm doing it.
But also like we're learning from you guys as much as you learn from us, like what you get up to, how it affects you, like all these new things that are out there. We love as money.
We're
like,
keeping a tally. When enough people say that ice baths are good, that's when we'll buy them.
There we go, right, done.
Currently, there's like 3 or 4. We're like, is it worth it for the business? Are you a person that has like a routine that you try and stick to or anything like that?
No, man, just exercise, isn't it? Like exercise has always been a big, important thing, whether it's, and also not even like proper vigorous, but just anything like movement or like being outside. I think maybe everyone could agree, but like if I haven't been in like nature for a bit, I notice that I'm a sort of different version of myself.
There's a thing called forest bathing. Have you heard about that? Apparently it's a Japanese thing.
Tell us.
Basically it just means going and walking through the woods, but like when you're walking through the woods you're like taking it in and looking around, and you, like, you're bathing in a forest.
It's not a bathtub in the woods.
I mean, those exist, I guess. Okay. But yeah, it's more that you're like immersing yourself in a woodland and in a forest. And like, I think I have the pleasure of walking the dog, but I guess it is a pleasure.
That
but
is
like,
a pleasure,
I'll take the dog for a walk and you'll go to woods. Mm. But maybe like a lot of people, you don't really go like, where are the nearest woodlands or anything like that? And it supposedly makes people feel like way, way calmer and like kind of tunes out the kind of stress of everyday life and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but that makes so much sense, and that's why I feel like there's some, like in London as much as I love London, there's obviously many, many like young people growing up here that don't have access to that. Mm. And that's a problem, really. I mean, there's not enough like green spaces that are just like open to everyone. I mean, there's the parks. We have good parks in London, but they're scattered and they're not necessarily like inner city parks, are they? Like,
but there's a difference between being in a park in London, like in the middle of London, than being in one that's got like a dense part of like woodland or whatever, where it's like there's a much calmer energy, which you do always like. You do feel like it affects you, or I certainly do anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
You're keen to get, because as soon as you go somewhere away, you're always like trying to find that place to go for a hike or surf.
Yeah,
or to like balance, just to balance it out. Yeah. Isn't it?
Even like just surfing and being in the sea, like there's something being so present with what you have to do. And this goes for many things beyond surfing, and a lot of sports are the same, where you have to just be focused on the thing you're doing in that moment. It's always hard when you can't be doing those things and you have to sort of be in the wheel of life in London, which is great as well. You know, there's energy there too, but
to balance it out, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
That's all about it. That's all it is. Yeah. Balance. Yeah. Get the balance back in.
If there's a change in a character from like being more relaxed and calm or whatever to more of like a assertive and macho, are there things like, because you see people in a sports setting when they like hype themselves up to do stuff. Is that anything you've ever had to do? Like certain scenes or like to play a certain person?
Yeah, definitely. And like on set, if you didn't know what people were doing on a set, you would think it was like the most stupid sort of thing going on. I mean, it is so silly when you break it down. But actors before scenes, if they need to like cheer himself up, like, you know, like doing press ups, or I had a director tell me to like run around the block and.
I've seen some weird.
I'm sure you guys have been on set.
Well, we have people that have got like lightweights and stretchy bands and like just doing like loads of reps of something.
Is that to look good or is that to like get them?
A little bit of both, I think. Yeah. In certain roles, it's to obviously give people like a pump
for the
bodybuilding term. But other times, it's more just like literally get your heart going and just get your body moving to help prepare for maybe a particularly like active scene or whatever.
I did this Disney film. I did Maleficent 2 and I had to like deliver this big speech and I was so out of my depth. Like I just, with the people I was working with, like, I mean like the cast I was working with, I was just like, so I was so nervous for what I had to do. And before those scenes, I used to do like Wim Hof style breathing, just like a lot of rounds of it. I'd come out of my trailer, I'd be very, like, confidence-wise, I'd be ready to, like, take it on, which is wild because I'm not naturally the sort of person that could go and, like, deliver a public speech in front of a load of people. Like, that's not really in my book. But after doing that, or, like, changing my state, I was somehow able to do it, which is mad, really.
Let's do
like
some
the
now.
Power of the...
Let's do some Let's now. Do some now. Which was it, like, the short, like, the, like, short... Or was it the long... Yeah.
And then like holding and then like doing three rounds. But
how did you learn about that stuff?
YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube's everything, mate. Breathing, DIY at home.
YouTube generation, isn't it?
You know, that's how
it works. Like when you said it earlier as well, like a lot of the jobs previous to kind of us, you've had trainers that you've worked with for short periods of time, and then you've also done it yourself.
Yeah.
For big chunks of it. And did you literally use find stuff on YouTube and
Like I'd meet people along the way. Like I'd meet certain actors that were sort of my speed. You know what I mean? Like people that were into fitness, but in a sort of healthy like way, and just sort of learnt from them and picked up things and ignored things. But I mean, YouTube's also bad. We were talking about this. YouTube's also like you just get inundated with some.
Yeah,
nonsense, and it's like
it's clickbait as well.
And it's also so like image based, and I mean
image based and instant fixes when it comes to like health.
These
and
eight moves will give you abs. No?
Oh, fuck off!
Yeah.
Just like,
but that's why like you guys are definitely, and that's what I love about you all and your like approach to the company and your like whole ethos. It goes beyond. Image, and it's just like how you feel and how you move through your life, and I think that's so valuable to everyone. And I think it's of course like PT, physical education is like taught in schools. I'm not I'm not slating that, but I don't think it's always like in my school. It was either you play football yeah. or you run with the girls. It was yeah. so yeah. reductive yeah, yeah, yeah. and narrow.
Yeah,
no wonder there's kids that are like obese that don't want to get fit because there's no options.
Yeah.
Like
mm. if you're just faking letters from their parents.
Cause yeah, yeah, if it's only, if the only option for you were to like get humiliated playing football yeah. that you, or a sport that you don't like, yeah. then
spend an hour walking in the woods.
Like, yeah, that could be yeah, yeah.
I wonder if that's yeah. changed. Physical like, education. I wonder if that.
I
has
hope
changed.
It's changed. Yeah, like I'm speaking on it like it's still the same. No, I don't like know, you, but
no, it's very so close true. To my experience at school as well. Yeah. Was like I always did love football and rugby, and it helped that I was twice as big as all the other kids, to be honest. But
I'm hoping it's changed.
But it's the same. Don't you think it's the same with like not to go down a rabbit hole? But don't you think it's the same with like food and diet and like even how to be healthy and to buy products that are say that aren't damaging for the environment where, to do with their packaging and their production, majority of the time it's going to cost you
so expensive,
a bit
yeah.
more.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Like it shouldn't be a middle class thing to be like healthy and conscious.
Eat organic food.
Eat organic
yeah.
food.
Yeah.
Like it's annoying that that's the case.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll have to get Jamie Oliver to do something.
Well, he took the Twizzlers.
He took the Twizzlers.
I quite liked them. I don't know what was in them, but they didn't taste bad.
Like, I'm worried about the generation like growing up.
I think they're going to be like, massive.
They're going to be so fit and healthy.
Yeah. The average height in Central Europe now is like over 6 foot.
What?
Germany's average height of a man is over 6 foot, whereas here you're like,
hello.
I definitely feel tall being over
How
6 foot.
Tall are you? Six.
6'2".
This is a tall room.
You're
I'd
taller
say,
than
right now.
You're taller than me.
I mean,
I think.
Oh, taller.
You're taller. Similar heights.
Harris and George both got. I'll call them Limmy. They're both Limmy.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm all which body. Is
like, your lanky string
of
piss.
Good. No, which is good leverage. Like, a lot of lever in
I've
there.
Got long arms.
A lot of power in there.
We could make some sort of like super athlete out of all of us.
Yeah,
that'd be
we
good.
Could.
Right, we've kept
what
it
would
a while.
It have? Yeah. Hold on, we've got to build this man.
Oh, sorry.
My legs.
Hold on.
It's got my legs. Are we agreeing on that?
Have you got the longest legs? Is that
he's got
what
long
saying?
Legs, yeah.
They're lovely.
Long, strong legs.
What would you...
long, strong legs.
What would you like from your body in the man?
What would you like from your body? You get to choose one thing.
And then we can name him at the end.
I want George's size 13s.
My hands and feet, I am a puppy dog.
Giant.
Yeah.
What do you get
Josh
from Josh?
Puppies have big
Josh's
balls,
tiny little
Josh's
head. It'll look so small.
So
you can
weird,
have my kind heart.
No, I love a peanut head because I've got one as well.
Fine. Okay. And then what does that leave? Your torso.
Yeah.
That's a good shout, to be
it's
fair.
A good shout. There
That'd
you
be good.
Yeah. That's a hell of a man.
He's got a good rig on him, so be
what
right.
about face?
We haven't got any arms.
I think let's just let Dave be the face.
Dave's, yeah. Dave's the face.
I'll
that's
be the
fine.
I'll be the face. So, face and legs. That's all you need.
I want to ask you what you're up to now. Not generally after this, at the minute.
Work-wise.
Yeah.
More
social, you know.
Where are you going next? Josh wants to come.
I don't know what I'm doing now. I'm just sort of...
But you're doing some writing, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm prepping my feature film that I've written and I'm trying to get that off the ground and I'm acting on in a film, but I feel like a part-timer because I only work now and again, which is lovely.
That's such...
I would take that any day of the week.
Yeah.
It's hard to not work, though.
Mm.
It's hard to not work, as you all can probably agree.
You get a bit itchy with it.
I do. I'm good at being off and I'm good at like occupying myself. I have a lot of like things I like to do, but we've just been told that we need to work. And especially like, it's like hard for other people not in the industry to understand. Some of my family would be like, so you're going to work this year? Or... But like, it's so intense if you're doing like, if you're on a shoot and you're doing 12, 13, 14 hour days every day and you're in a different country and you're not, you know, gaff, then...
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a few months to just like get your head straight and get back stuff. So that's what I'm trying to figure out is that balance.
Well, thank you very, very much for coming on.
Yeah.
It's been
thanks for having me.
Very insightful chat.
Cheers, guys.
I've really enjoyed it. And maybe we'll have you back again in the future.
If I'd be so lucky.
We'll definitely do that.
Yeah.
Come back. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks, cheers. Thanks, Harris.
Nice one.